Welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me today will be David Hulley and Giannis Giannis. In this episode, we will be looking back at the shocking 5-2 loss performed against Birmingham City at Craven Cottage on Saturday. However, we will be starting with the breaking news today that Kit Simons has been sacked as full manager. We will be starting the show talking all about that, and I also want to mention that we are going to have a special edition of Cottage Talk tomorrow where we will be discussing who could be the next full manager. But in this episode, we will be breaking down the Fulham loss and also talking about the sacking of Kit Simons. Before we go any further, I have to welcome back my Cottage Talk co-host to the show. David, how you doing?
Hi, Russ, and I'll get in there first. I'll say hello to Giannis as well when he comes on.
Okay.
Good to be back and glad to have the chance to talk about what was a pretty awful result yesterday and the aftermath.
Yes, listen, there's plenty to get through, and we're definitely going to talk about it. I definitely still want to do a post-match show, just so you know. So we will go through it. I want your opinion on what you watched. I watched it this morning, and sorry I did, but I did actually watch the replay. I have a feeling that Giannis did as well. But we do have to start, obviously, talking about the sacking of Kit Simons. But before we do anything, it looks like Giannis is on the line with us. Giannis, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hello.
Giannis, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just watching a TV program. Just for all the listeners out there, let's not forget that it's a very big day on Wednesday, Remembrance Day.
Yes.
Make sure you go out, buy your poppies, do anything you can for our veterans in the community. They died for our freedom or injured themselves for our freedom and wonderful souls.
Listen, I am so glad that you mentioned that. I was going to mention that as well. Again, in the background of me right now is the Arsenal match, and of course they did the moment
That's
of
right.
silence, the minute of silence, because it's Remembrance Sunday. So, Giannis, that is a great way to start the show. I am glad that you mentioned that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Wonderful to be on.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure having you both on, and we're going to do things a little bit differently. We are going to talk about the sacking of Kit, and then, of course, we are still going to break down the match, because I definitely want to get to that. And now, as I mentioned at the beginning, we will be doing a special show tomorrow night with Emilio Dinello and Mike Gregg will be joining me. We will be talking about who could be the next full manager. But today I wanted to concentrate on the match and also on what happened to Kit. So I'm going to start with reading the announcement from the team. This happened, I believe, about 1 p.m. in the U.K., again, the title of it is Rigg Announces Simons' Departure. Fulham Football Club today announced that Kit Simons was dismissed as first-team manager following Saturday's match against Birmingham City at Craven Cottage. Mike Rigg, chief football officer, made the announcement and will immediately conduct a search for the new first-team manager. Fulham chairman Shah Khan spoke to Simons today and thanked him for his loyalty and service to Fulham. Quote, "No one can ever doubt the effort and commitment that Kit put into Fulham, not only as first-team manager, but also as a player here, and as a key figure in the success of our academy," said Mr. Khan. Quote again, "Kit came through for us last year at this time and helped stabilize our club on and off the pitch, and we're very grateful for that and his many other contributions over the years. It is now time to take Fulham to the higher level of success that we expect from our first-team manager and our players and our supporters here in London and throughout the world deserve." And those, again, are quotes from the Fulham chairman, Shah Khan. And, David, I'm going to start with you. Share with me your thoughts on the sacking of Kit and also the announcement that was made on the Fulham website.
Yeah, it's quite a surreal situation, really, because we've had this, will it happen, will it not happen scenario for quite a while now. Every time we've had a bad result or two on the bounce, people have been saying that his time is up, he's going to be going. We had that a few weeks ago where we got the impression from Khan that he'd been told, he was on his way out if things didn't pick up. And now we have it. And, it's clear that at last that the board and, Mr. Khan have got to really where the fans have got to, which is that, Kit has qualities which he's brought to the job, and no one doubts his commitment or his love for the club. But at the end of the day, it just the results have not been good enough, or you know, the consistency hasn't been there, and you know, the club have expectations of you know, getting to a higher level, i.e., top six finish, chance of playoff, chance of promotion, etc. And just feel, they feel it's not going to happen with Kit there, and that's, you know, I think, as you know, I mean, in a way, the announcement has taken the wind out of our sails a bit, because had Kit still been in his job, we could have come on today, we could have ranted and raved about, you know, yesterday's defence being so awful, and you know, Kit's got to go, he's got to go, and now, you know, now he has, it's, you know, no one's going to, you know, going to come on and gloat about it, I wouldn't think. No one wants to make fun of the fact that someone's lost their job, but, you know, let's face it, in any walk of life, if you're employed to do a job, if you have targets set by your boss and you don't reach them, then this is what happens. You lose your job sooner or later. So we don't gloat about it, but we have to accept that, you know, it was coming, and we all knew it was coming. It was just a matter of when. You know, from my point of view, it should have been sooner, because I think the last few months have just, we've been treading water. We haven't moved forward. There have been improvements, most certainly. You know, I think we've seen a better quality of play from the team. We've shown that the ability to score goals seems to have come to us easier, but the ability to leak goals has still been there. And, you know, we are the second highest conceders in the division. So that is not form for promotion or form for playoff, unfortunately. That's what's been costing us. So, you know, well done, Mr. Khan. You've got there in the end. And, you know, let's just hope. And, you know, the grass isn't always green on the other side, but let's hope that who we find next is an improvement on what we've had. And that, you know, really the ultimate, I think, is that they've pulled something out of the bag this season. Certainly we want to, you know, be better going forward, be more stable, more consistent. But they've done it now in the hope, I think, that, you know, with a bit of luck, with a very good run of results, we might still salvage something.
Okay, very good, David, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that. Giannis, over to you.
First one, David, how are you doing? I hope you're feeling better there.
Yeah, well, thanks, Giannis. Very nice to ask. Still a bit up and down as well myself. I need a bit of consistency, but I think things are going the right way slowly. Thanks.
So I'll start calling you Fulham then, shall I?
Probably, yeah.
There you go.
In terms of the Kit thing, I mean, and David's right. I mean, we're not nasty to say that we're going to necessarily gloat that he's lost his job. And you know, if you've ever lost your job out there, any listeners, they'll know exactly what it's all about. It's a tough situation. It's not like he's going to be short of a bob or two. He had a good contract going. And you know what? In professional sports, it's results driven, whether we like it or not. Kit, the person I do like, and I do have a lot of time for him. And we could talk about his mistakes and everything that's gone wrong, but as the person that he is, you know, I've got a lot of time for him. So a little bit of it is, you know, it is unfortunate, but it is what it is. And clearly Mr. Khan thought that with the squad that we had, we just weren't doing well enough. I think it had to come to a head yesterday, maybe for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because you got the two-week break until we played the MK Dons. But secondly, I had this is before the announcement last night, this morning, but I had a mull over this last night, and I was thinking about the James Husband sending off yesterday. Something happened in that changing room at halftime, because he came out like a caged animal.
He did.
It's a long time since I've seen a player come on a field looking so angry. So what was said in that change, or whatever it was, completely changed him. And 10 men, we were behind the eight ball. And I think after the game, I'm not sure how far after the game, it was obviously after the press conference that he was released, because, again, Kit went on and slammed his defenders. And I'm not sure if Mr. Grigg heard that. The decision was made, you know, at the end of the game or even before the game. But I think that, you know, the writing was on the wall. The decision had to be made, and that gives the club now 2 weeks to have a real think. And let's face it, there are a lot of good candidates out there that to choose from. So they'll have the choice. Fulham will have the choice of the litter. It's just that hopefully they pick up the right dog.
You know what, Giannis? For me, it's about finding the right man. They need to find the right manager. It's vital here, because again, this is a very important stage in their development. It's very extremely important that they find the right manager. But let me just share my thoughts on Kit. And again, you know, he's a glass half full person. I am as well. So I do understand many of the things, the way that he thinks at some point. So again, this doesn't make me feel good inside that someone's losing his job. I don't like the fact that he's losing his job. But Giannis, as you said, it's a results-driven business, and he wasn't getting the results. And I personally felt that Kit could only take us so far. We need someone else that is the long-term solution that can take us back to the Premier League and keep us there in good standing. And Mr. Rigg, Mr. Khan, they need to find the right man. Not to me what needs to happen. But on with Kit, again, this might not be a popular sentiment, but this is my sentiment, and Mike Gregg actually agrees with me. Mike actually tweeted this out. I'm going to read it because I agree with Mike totally. This is something that he tweeted out 2 hours ago. Kit should be remembered for turning things around last year. Don't underestimate how bad that star was. He needs thanks for that. Mike, I agree with you 100%. Kit deserves credit for keeping us up. Whether you like the progression now, I want to give Kit the credit that he deserves. Last year was very bad, and he kept us up. And I was doubting that it was really that bad, but it really was. There was an opportunity there that Fulham could have gone down another division, which would have been horrible. And we hung in there under Kit, so I have to give him credit. I just don't think he was the right man to take us to the next step. So now you find the right man to take us to the next step. But Kit Simons, if you're listening, if you listen to this podcast, you get serious credit from me because you did a job. You did the job last season. Unfortunately, you know, you couldn't get it done to that next step that we wanted. So that's why we made the change. But I'm not happy today that we're changing the manager for personal reasons because, again, I like his personality. I like what he brings. Again, this is a business decision. It just wasn't the right fit to get us where we need to be. And the decision had to happen. Like David, like you said, at some point we knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. Well, now it's happened. Now we move on. But I have to, just before we go on from Kit, just again, one more time, thank you, Kit, because you did keep us up. So you deserve credit for that.
That's very well.
David, any thoughts on that?
No, I think that covers everything. I mean, as I say, clearly he's a, you know, a very sort of loyal Fulham man, and you have to respect that. And that is, you know, some quality you'd want from your manager, if possible. But some of our best success hasn't necessarily come with that. I mean, Roy Hodgson wasn't a loyal Fulham man. He had no connection to Fulham whatsoever, really, when he joined. But, you know, he became a loyal Fulham man in the end, and we took him to our hearts. So it doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's been previously connected to a club that comes in. But obviously Kit had a head start in that respect. But just unfortunately, when it came down to the job, he didn't quite have what it took, unfortunately. And he certainly, you know, at times we saw some great flashes, but it was the consistency, as we keep saying, that's been the problem.
Sure.
So, you know, good luck to Kit, whatever he does next. For me, I would have thought it's a perfect chance for him to rejoin the Wales setup and perhaps, you know, have some time away from club football and enjoy the fact that Wales are going to the European Championships. And perhaps, you know, in hindsight, perhaps he should have made the choice last summer, or the choice should have been made last summer to relieve him from Fulham, and he could have stayed with Wales set up full time because he's had a lot of success there with them and joy. So perhaps that's his next move in the short term, while we obviously look for our manager.
No, very, very good stuff there, David. Giannis, over to you. Any thoughts about what I shared?
I think you put it absolutely brilliantly, and you're bang on. I mean, he did. You know, he was instrumental in keeping us up. He came in a very difficult situation with Felix, you know, having been released, and we were 0-7, all the horror stories that came out there. And he brought a measure of stability in a difficult division that I think we all probably underestimated when we got relegated from the Premier League. But to go, you know, it's as fans, we have a tendency to all think that our team is the best in the division, and we fall in love with players very, very quickly. And, you know, one of the things I think may be called into question, and I might be in the minority here, is that there have been a lot of comments in the last 24 hours that we have the players to take us forward. But I'm now not so sure. I'm now not so sure that the players we do, especially having looked at this Birmingham game, where Birmingham had pace all over the field, and we're not necessarily blessed with that. They were very well organised, and the goals that we scored were, I thought really good goals to be honest, the two goals that we scored, but we really had to earn them. And you know, I think the manager that comes in, whoever it's going to be, is going to have to look at this squad once again, and look in key areas and see if maybe we've got the players, the right players in the right positions. I'm going to give you a case in point. Someone like Moussa Dembele. I mean, there's a lot of thing about re-signing him for a contract and blah, blah, blah. Yesterday, he got lost in the fight. And for us to get promoted, we need... I mean, Matt Smith came on and made a huge difference.
He
was there. And, I mean, let's not forget the second goal was because he got a ball in the bollocks. And the ball fell from Ralph and he put it away. I mean, he was ready to put his body on the line. And that's the sort of player that you need that's going to take the next level. Yeah, that sort of commitment. So I think... bang on. I mean, you know, I hope Kit is listening because he's a thoroughly professional and a nice guy, and he's going to find his feet. I think he's going to return to club management at some point. I'm not sure the fit was necessarily right here, and there is always sympathy for the people that get released, but I think the change was probably, you know, at the right time. And upon reflection, it's like when everybody loses their job or, you know, you lose a game. I think you look back, you reflect, if there are things we could have done, things I could have handled differently. And I know that Kit's going to learn tremendously from the experience. And he's going to be a better manager because of that. And I hope the fans realise that when we face Kit again, and I'm sure we will, you know, we give him a really good reception and we recognise the work that he's done. You know, life moves on. And I know he's going to know that. He's a pro. And I know we as fans are going to know that. I like to think we're classy. And hopefully, you know, whoever comes in takes us onwards and upwards. And Kit finds his feet somewhere else and has success.
Listen, I wish Kit Simons the best. He's a full man. He'll always be a full man. And today is about something else. Today is about the future of Fulham Football Club. And we move on and we wish him the best. And David, I want to go to you because, again, Giannis brought up something that I've been thinking about as well, because I actually am one of those people, Giannis, that believes we do have the squad. But watching the last two matches, I have seen instances where the other teams have better pace than us, are beating us with pace. What are your thoughts about the fact that maybe we do not have enough players with pace?
This has been a problem really all the time. You know, this is why we've been so glad to have the emergence of people like Husband and Fredericks into the squad, because we saw they brought real pace. You know, pace has been an issue. It's not just about, obviously, having pace individually, but our gameplay is generally too slow, too cautious, and this is what we come up against. And, you know, it's been levelled at several of the players. You know, Tim Ream, Dan Burn in defence, for example, don't have enough pace, for example. You know, they're two of the people. We've talked about some of the fullbacks as well, not getting forward. You know, Richards not having enough pace to get forward, whereas Fredericks has been an improvement there. And, you know, and it's a very, very valid point that it's been very easy to sort of to level everything on Kit, you know, when things don't go well. And in the main, you know, I think we stick by that, and because there's been some baffling tactics at time, or selections or substitutions and things. But, you know, on rare occasions, it has gone well. Then it's because we've got the right players. And you know, there are times when we have played with a pace of sort. You know, like QPR game, for example.
Yes.
We've cut through them quickly. You know, but then that, you know, in that game, both Husbands and Fredericks played at fullback, for example. So you know, if you look at our players. You know, as I say, who has actually got out-and-out pace? I think Dembele probably is quite quick and strong. As I say, Husband and Fredericks are both quite quick. Kakalicic has pace, but don't always see him use it, maybe. But apart from that, I'm not sure. We don't have anyone in defence who is rapidly quick in the centre defence, I think. So it's a very valid point. So, you know, and this is why, you know, with the change having to be made, that this is probably the time to do it, where a new manager is going to come in, he'll have at least a month before the window opens, and he may feel that, you know, that's something we need to introduce. I mean, pace isn't everything. Pace isn't everything, but, you know, we have seen, you know, as I say, other teams cutting us apart sometimes with pace. And it's not just about having pace, it's about the way you play and the quickness of mind. But it's certainly one factor. And, you know, there's been times when I think to myself, are we actually as good as everyone thinks we are? But, you know, I count out with the fact that we're still the leading goal scorers. You know, whether we've got pace or not, somehow we've got up the other end and we've scored more goals than anyone else. And, you know, with all these issues, just think how good it could be, you know, if we could defend better. So, you know, it's not all about absolute pace.
No, I hear you, David. No, it's a valid point, and but I think it's really interesting that Giannis brought that up, because it's something that I've been thinking about. And I think the next manager coming in has to evaluate the entire squad and think, where can we improve? Do we need to improve in certain areas? And one of the things that I've noticed, again, it's coming out against certain opponents, it's a lack of pace. We do have some players that have it, but maybe we need more of it. Maybe, you know, again, maybe the new manager will want to play a different way. We might need more of those types of players. But it's just very interesting, because I've always thought, you know what, we have the squad. We have the players. But a new manager might not feel that way. And, you know, it's very interesting, because Giannis brought something up that I've noticed it has been a little bit of a weakness. Giannis, any thoughts about what we've been adding?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're bang on, but I'm just thinking about something here. I mean, my girls had a game last night, an indoor game, and we're playing in a league, we're playing teams 2 years older than us. And we had a game last night, and we were goal up at halftime. And so the girls come off the field, and, you know, they're all happy. And I tore an absolute strip off them. And the reason I did is because it wasn't because of the pace of the game. It looked like a funeral march. The passing to me was too slow. It was too ponderous. When we were in the Premier League, if you remember, when we were really struggling, it was honestly, it was painful, the speed of the passing. It wasn't just the actual speed of the running on and off the ball. It was such a slow build-up. So at halftime, I said, no, look, get your things in it. Let's start moving the ball a little bit quicker. Okay? Let's see a little bit more movement off the ball, and we'll cut them up. Well, we win it 4-0. Now, I relate that back to the QPR game. The QPR game, we cut them to ribbons. Why? Because our passing was slick and it was quick. It was a lot of 2-3, 1-touch football, and QPR were all over the shop. And I think that's another thing we've got to look at. I mean, the pace is one thing. We're not, you know, there are teams in this. I don't think Burnley are a particularly quick team, but I think they're a quick passing team. And I think that's something that, in terms of the build-up from the back, we've got to look at the philosophy where, you know, starting from whoever's in net, you know, you're getting the fullbacks involved as much as you possibly can. You're getting the wide midfielders to drop a little bit. And you're looking for those combinations. Not, you're looking to slice and dice a little bit. You know, channel passes, but lots of quick passing and interaction. And against QPR, that's the one game that sticks out for me, because we did a fantastic job, but that was so inconsistent. And if you looked even at Birmingham City, they did a pretty good job of that. So I think the new manager coming in has got to look at the pace that we've got, quicker players. But he's also got to look at the philosophy and the style of the quicker passing, because speed always kills. And that doesn't mean running, sprinting down a line. It means, you know, the ball's always going to travel quicker than the man. Quicker passing will always cause problems for midfielders and defenders. So that's something I think for us to get into that top six, the next level, we've got possibly the players, but we have to do everything quicker. And I think
it's a good point.
That is going to be, I think that's going to be a key. It's just assessing the style and just doing everything a little touch quicker, a little bit quicker.
Tweaking it.
And tweaking it. I think that's it. And the new manager, whoever it's going to be, is going to have, well, so the best part of 2 weeks, because Mr. Grigg said that, you know, they're looking for a new manager. I think they've probably almost completed their search. I think they know who they want. Maybe an announcement soon. But I think that's one thing that the new manager is going to have to do moving forward.
No, very, very interesting there, Giannis. And I'm glad that we could talk about this a little bit. And I also want to mention, because this was tweeted out by our Cutter Talk co-host, Mike Gregg, and also from others as well. Simon Peach tweeted this out a little while ago, who writes for the Press Association. He's been on the show many times. Tweeted out that Alan Kerbishley will be in charge of training for right now. So that's actually, for me, that's a positive thing. So they've already...
Yep.
They already have Kerbs there. He's going to be in charge for right now until the new manager comes in. And Giannis, I think that's a good thing. I like the fact that Kubershley is still here.
Yeah, it's interesting now because I'm sure David, you know, David and Mike and Amelia and all the fans have seen the latest betting on the potential managers to come in. I mean,
I've seen it.
Yeah. It's interesting that looking at the betting, that there's been actually no mention of Kubershley. Because you've actually got a bona fide, ready, good reputation manager right there, right now. And many would have argued that when Mühlenstein was in charge, that Kubershley should have taken over, and he didn't. And I'm wondering if Kerbs may throw his hat in the ring now and say, okay, I think I can do it. I've got the experience. I've coached at all levels. Because if you notice that the managers that are being touted right now are all obviously former managers. I mean, I don't want to insult any of them by saying they're retreads,
sure.
But you know what I'm saying. But Kubershley's there in the club. And if he has a few good results, you know, he's not a rookie manager by any means. You go, well, if you're doing a good job and the players are listening and there are changes, then why bring anybody in? So I wouldn't discount Kubershley from actually having an opportunity to take the job.
Interesting. And again, his name came into my brain too, so I'm glad that you're thinking on that wavelength as well. I'll be talking about that tomorrow because it's something that I've thought about, you know, Alan Kubershley. No one's really talking that much about him. He's already there. He's going to be in charge of training, and I actually think that's a positive thing. You have someone with experience that's going to be there with the team until they find the new manager. David, what are your thoughts about the situation with Alan Kubershley?
Well, it's a difficult one in a way because you can argue it from both sides. Obviously, there's him being there gives us some continuity, but you could also say that, you know, he was brought in to do a job and it hasn't worked either because, you know, we haven't seen this consistency that we've been craving so much. You know, he's there to advise Kit, but how well has he advised him? Obviously not well enough because Kit's lost his job. So it's kind of, you know, what will happen to Kubershley after this? You know, was talked that with the Charlton job becoming vacant, he may go back there where obviously he's, you know, been before. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Say it's good the players have obviously got someone there to offer continuity, but, you know, the reason Kit has been sacked is because the continuity that we've had hasn't been consistent. We've been so up and down, you know, it's just been ridiculous. We've seen great results and too many not great results. So I fear that at the end of all this, Kubershley may end up a victim and a casualty as well.
Interesting, interesting. Well, we're going to have to see how this all plays out. All right, guys, we only...
Russ?
I'm sorry, Giannis, do you have something you want to share?
Russ, just to add to what David said there...
Sure.
David's right there, but there is a flip side to this. You could argue that, you know, Kubershley didn't do what he was supposed to do, but then the flip side would be, what was he allowed to do? You know, one thing we're not privy to is the amount of advice and the amount of input that Kubershley actually had in terms of team selection and tactics and training. I mean, for all we know, Kit had most of the power. Now, if Kerbs is to become the manager, he's not an advisor, he's the man. And I don't think anybody, any listener can ever question his, you know, his competence as a manager per se. He doesn't exactly need an advisor in terms of the success certainly he had at Charlton Athletic. So I think, you know, it makes sense, but it just makes me wonder at times how much input he had. I mean, if he was that bad as an aider, why would you put him in as an interim manager if you didn't question his competence to be able to take over in the meantime? So I'm wondering, you know, and that's why I think I wouldn't rule Kubershley out, because we might find out that actually Kubershley's input into the team selection and tactics was actually less than we first thought and maybe had hoped all along.
It's very interesting, Giannis, because in most recent, Kit mentioned Kubershley working with Dembele. I don't know if you've heard that, but going over video with him and trying to help him as a player. I think that's fantastic. So maybe he was helping in certain areas on an individual basis, but maybe not, like you mentioned, strategically, or like you mentioned in team selection. Maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe he wasn't really a part of that as much as I thought. You know, I thought he had some say, but again, the only one that really knows that, well, the only two would really know that is Kubershley and Kit. But But it's very interesting. I'm glad that we can actually talk about this a little bit, because I plan on talking about that tomorrow, you know, when we talk about who could be next. And I was, being honest, I was going to mention Kubershley as someone that could end up being the next manager. And no one's really talking about him. He's there. He's there in training. He's going to be there with the players. It's just a thought. And I'll leave that to the next show. But, guys, we only have about a half hour left. And listen, I do want to talk about this last match. I got up this morning and I watched it, and, not too happy about what I watched. But, Giannis, I'm gonna start with you, and then I'm going to David, because David was actually there. Did you have a chance to watch the replay?
Yes, I did. Yes,
okay.
I did. I watched it.
Opening thoughts.
Oh, it was a weird game. I thought the first 10, 15 minutes we played pretty well.
We did.
We made a very bright start. It was a very open game. And then the first goal goes in from 30 yards out. And I'm not sure how Lewis didn't get there. I don't think he was onside. And then the heads just dropped. It was almost like any confidence that we may have taken from the Bristol City. Some of it was, you know, was taken out after the Burnley game, and all of a sudden the whole thing was deflated after that first goal. Lewis will probably admit he could have had it back, made a few good saves after that. But the goals that, you know, the goals that we conceded were poor. I mean, the second one was a penalty. I don't think there's any question.
Yes.
Birmingham City played very, very well. They were very, very well organised. And if we're being really honest, we were outclassed. We were outclassed by a team that came to attack, that caused us lots of problems, that moved the ball quicker than us, that were better organised, and they were better coached. And at the end of the day, I don't think 5-2 was. I think 5-2 was reflective of the game. It was. It wasn't. And I mean, if you're going to lose that 5-2 away from home, yeah, you can deal with it, but not in front of your home fans. It was. I think that was the straw. To do it in front of your fans. So I've got no complaints about the result.
Okay, very good. David, you were there. Share your thoughts on the match.
Yeah, as Giannis says, it was a weird one, really. It wasn't our worst performance, I don't think. Not in terms of, you know, we did actually create some stuff going forward. But it was men and boys, really, when it came to it tactically. You know, in all walks of it, they were a much tighter unit.
We really didn't know
what we were doing. We didn't know what we were doing, you know. Yeah. And this was, you know, I guess was borne out by this decision today, because Kit tried some strange change of tactics and it didn't really seem to work, and maybe people didn't know where they were playing. Then he keeps switching it around to try and correct things, because when it wasn't working clearly when we were 3-0 down. But, you know, I think, you know, 2-0, it flattered Birmingham a little bit at that point of the game. It was just they were much more sort of devastating in their attack. And you know, it was a well-struck first goal. I'm not sure how well Lewis could have done. I don't think he was particularly culpable. It was one of those ones, it's hit well. And it was the way they hit it, it kind of, the ball arced, I think, and it's harder for the goalkeeper. And the ball was a hit back from the side it came to, so the goalkeeper's weight would always be maybe going the other way initially. Second one, definitely a penalty. I was thinking the red card's going to come out here, perhaps, and then we're going to be in real trouble. We'll be down to our fourth goalkeeper. But thankfully, I mean, the guys pushed it past Lewis much too hard. He would have never actually got the ball. Had Lewis been able to pull out of it, he would have never got the ball. The ball would have gone out of play, but
totally.
The ref doesn't look... Maybe that's why the ref gave a yellow card and not a red card, I don't know. But Lewis was late getting there. And then after that, as Giannis said, the heads went down. The third goal was just very, very poor professionalism. Very poor professionalism. The ball looked like it was going out of play, maybe. Or they're moaning about offside. You know, and even when it came down to the second half, when we scored, Ross got himself booked. for throwing himself to the floor and moaning about it. When Kakaniklić scored, it was just our professionalism just was not there. You know, what James Husband did was ridiculous. Yes, he was fired out, but it fired up. But it was completely brainless. You know, he was lucky not to be sent off, I think, for the first challenge. I haven't seen it again, but from where I was, it looked...
Oh, it's
bad.
He went
studs up and high. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? So, you know,
yes.
to do that sort of tackle a minute later or 2 minutes later that he did, you know, the writing was on the wall there. The ref was always going to get out a second yellow card, really. So it was just, it was men against boys for me, really. It was, they just beat us in all areas of the field. Their discipline was better, although they spent a lot of the game rolling around on the floor, Josie Altidor style. I mean, they still, their professionalism was better. And they passed the ball quicker. They were tight as a unit. They knew where to play. They knew their positions, and it
worked. They knew their jobs.
Yeah, it cut us open far too easily, and as I say, it was a very open game, you know. But it seemed that we went down one end, and then they went down the other end. I mean, when you look at the stats, you'll see again, you know, the possession doesn't tell you the truth again, really. You know,
no, it doesn't.
We had the possession, but we didn't have the game. We never had control of the game.
No, David, we didn't, and what's infuriating, like you both have mentioned, you were there. The first 15 minutes, you know, Fulham were well into this match. It was pretty even. It was open. But I thought Fulham had some opportunities there, and I did not see on the horizon what was about to happen, because it just didn't seem like – it seemed like Fulham were going to be in this game and going to have a chance to win. That's the way I felt in the opening stages. So for to see what happened after that was just very upsetting. The goal, you know, I've watched it back. I'm talking about the first one, David. You know, part of me agrees with you that maybe there wasn't much that he could do. Maybe he was blocked. But after watching it a few times, I don't know why. I feel like he should have done a little bit better. You know, you were a goalkeeper, so you're usually pretty critical. And here I am being more critical of Joe Louis. But I thought he could have done a little bit better. The second goal, definitely, like you mentioned, definitely a penalty. But I don't think a red card based on, like you mentioned, the player, you know, again, he really didn't have a chance to score. He was just, you know, pretty much kicking it out of bounds. So, again, that wasn't going anywhere near net. So again, I understand the yellow card, and luckily, like you mentioned, you know, it was only a yellow. The third goal, I've watched this back in slow motion several times. It's very close, but it could have been out. But regardless, they switched off, David. They switched off. There's, you know, again, that's the bigger picture is they shouldn't have switched off, even if they thought the ball was out or it was offside. They switched off for that half a second, and he scores. You can't do that, or you get punished. And we got punished, and we're down 3-0. You know, the second half with Husband was very disappointing, because he's a player that I think Fulham need to buy in January, and here he is, you know, for whatever reason, coming out like Rambo, coming out like crazy, you know, really coming out, you know, really attacking and going into tackles, which I understand, but he was going a little bit too far and got sent off, and then it was going to be very difficult at that point, you know. But Matt Smith did play well when he came on, gave us a chance, but again, it was, you know, it was going to be very difficult, even down 3-1, to come back, and of course they scored to make it 4-1. We scored again to make it 4-2, and they get that last goal to make it 5-2. So, again, I'm not really going to go through the key moments, because we've pretty much been talking about it, guys. But David, let's go back. Let's talk about before the match. And this is something that I always like to ask and always like to think about. Was this match lost before it began, meaning the starting 11 in the formation? Do you think that maybe – you know, again, I thought Kit was taking a chance by putting out this new formation. Part of me wants to give him credit for thinking outside the box, but it just didn't come off, David. What are your thoughts about the starting 11 in the formation?
Well, when it was announced, it looked like it was going to be a 3-5-2, just with LVC as a straight swap, basically, for the injured Fredericks. And I thought, well, this will be interesting to see how this goes and if we, you know, we can live with this. And then I see tweets saying, "Oh, it's going to be a Christmas tree." Well, I hope that's not a Christmas tree, because it'll be putting me off buying one for life, because it would be a very ugly and lopsided Christmas tree if that's what it was. Because it was actually we actually started with Ream at right back, and then O'Hara as a one sitting deep just in front of the back four, and then we had two in front of him, and then two in front of them, and then one. So it was a 4-1-2-2-1. It was almost a diamond, but then it was misshapen because we had McCormack sticking out on the left wing. And I think And again, someone said Tony Cliff went to the bench and asked Kit, where do you want me to play? And if that's true, then that just sums it up, because I'm not sure if anyone really knew where they were playing. And then we had the ridiculous situation with LVC wide on the left, which is not, you know, it's not how you use a player like that. You know, I know Mike is very fond of LVC, but even he said that it just was a very poor position. And then obviously once we went 3-0 down, we've then switched to just a straight 4-4-2 with, he actually played, where did he play? That's a very good question. Yeah, he had Kearney and LVC with a wide player. So we had Kearney on the right and LVC on the left with Tony Clifford and O'Hara in the middle. But of course, those players are both on the wrong side, so we had no width there again. And it was just really, I don't know what he was trying to do, but it just didn't work.
Yep.
He would have probably been better just to try and play the 3-5-2 with, you know, Christensen as the right wing back, I think, rather than trying another new system. I mean, there's only so many new systems you can foist upon the players, I think. You know, it's dangerous to change things around too many times, I think. And on this occasion, it just seemed to be the case. And we didn't know where we were playing. Birmingham knew where they were playing. And although at times, you know, we created a few sort of promising things, it was just, it fell apart and we were too open through the middle. Even though we had all our players in the middle almost, you know, it just didn't work. So the formation was changed. And then, of course, with after the sending off, we actually went to three at the back, a genuine three at the back with the sending off.
Yep.
And with Tunnicliffe was kind of playing as a right, sort of a right wing back, and with the Kakanich as a left wing back with the two central midfielders. And then he took off Tiny Cliff, and you know, and again it brought on Matt Smith, and then it changed again. So we really did leave ourselves quite open after that. But you know, at 3-1, we probably created them the most problems we created all game. When we got that goal back, we had obviously had Matt Smith hit the post with a great volley. We got the goal back, and for a little bit there was just this wobble. And if we thought if we could get another one back to 3-2, it really could be interesting. But of course they went and scored at the other end. And then we scored again to make it look a bit better. And of course, it wouldn't be a Fulham game
again.
It wouldn't be a Fulham game without conceding a goal at the very end, would it? You know, so that was it. But yeah, it was just a match of organised disorganisation, really, I think, or something like that.
David, that's a great way to put it. It's one team that was prepared, and the other team just was ill prepared, not prepared enough. You know, again, didn't know their jobs. One team knew their jobs very well, executed it. And that's what it came down to. It came down to one team executed better than the other and knew their jobs and just got it done. And when you start looking around and questioning what you're about to do, that's a problem. And that was a problem. It showed itself in this match. Giannis, what are your thoughts about what we're talking about with the starting 11 and also the formation?
The starting 11 wasn't a problem for me, but it sort of reminds me of the moving dartboard. Last week down at Bristol, we started with a 3-5-2, and it worked with devastating, you know, effectiveness. And it almost, if there's one criticism I can level at Kit, he never seemed to be really settled in his formation. I mean, he's got the players there. We sort of know, you know, the 12, 13, 14 he likes to use, and of course we've got injured players and what have you. But you really should try and, it's almost like saying, well, you know, we're worrying more about the opposition than we are about controlling the game ourselves with our own settled formation. The 3-5-2 worked very well against Bristol last week. So when I first saw the line, I thought, okay, 3-5-2, I can deal with this. I mean, this is going to allow the wide midfielders to drop back, which really converts it into a 5-3-2 when we're, you know, when we're defending, when we don't have the ball. But then when I saw the formation, the Christmas tree, I thought, oh no, he's changed it again. And I'm thinking now as a player. Now I was a central midfielder myself, and you know, I mean, as midfielders, you obviously, you know, it's important what formation set up, because in many ways, we've got the hardest job on the pitch because we're running back and forth. And there didn't seem to be a lot of stability there. And, you know, what it does, even for professionals, I don't care what anyone says, it creates confusion because you're not really sure. You just, it's almost like you show up. I know there's a debriefing on Thursday, you have your last practice, and then there's a walkthrough on the Friday. But it almost makes me wonder, with the way that we were yesterday, whether or not the players even knew before even before they got in the changing room yesterday at lunchtime, what the formation was going to be. And really, you should know this days in advance. And,
right.
If you've got a certain formation, stick to it. Okay, so you go out and lose 3-0 to X United, all right? But 3-5-2 has brought some success. Say, oh, okay, you know what? That didn't work that game, but we're going to keep going at it until we get it right, and it's going to bear some fruit. But chopping and changing lineups is one thing, Russ. But chopping and changing formations is another. Because when you chop and change formations, you disturb the equilibrium of the team. You stick to your formation and maybe make tweaks here and there. And I think it got to the point, there were times in yesterday's game where players looked thoroughly confused. And it was borne out by the way that City were able to cut us up. And I think one of the things that the new manager will have to come in and do is just, you know what, this is and not pick his own formation. Pick the best formation that's going to suit the players that you've got. And then practice it. Do what Hodgson used to do. Danny Murphy used to talk about it. Every practice is the same. Day in, day out, week in, week out. So that the players are basically brainwashed into the expectations of the formation and what they do on the pitch. And I think that's what you're going to do, because that brings stability to the lineup. And then when players get injured, the players that come in automatically know the formation, automatically know what the expectations are. So I think that level of stability, I think, is going to be very important moving forward.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. You know, again, stability, you know, and that's the key word. You know, again, you're looking at this match, it's one team that was stable, one team that did not look stable at all. And
no.
And that's what they need, consistency. It's all really the same types of things here. And, you know, I have to give Gary Rowett and his team some serious credit. You know, they know their jobs and they did it. We knew going into the game, David and I did the pre-match show, and we knew that they liked to counterattack, and that's exactly what they did, and they did it to a T. So they deserve credit. And hopefully with the new phone manager, we will have someone that will give us stability that the club needs. All right. David, we only have about 12 minutes left. Would you like to rate the players? If so, we got to do them fairly quickly.
I think it's going to be difficult to rate the players, to be honest with you, but because there was no one that really stood out, you know,
okay,
having a great game. They all kind of were deficient in one way or another, but I'd like to give a special mention actually to Dan Byrne. I think he,
sure.
Although his play wasn't always technically the best, and I think he made mistakes as well, he showed the most sort of, you know, commitment for me at the back. He threw himself into the game, and he really tried his hardest, so I'd like to give him a mention for that.
Okay, well, that's a good way to do it. You know, again, I think a man of the match is difficult to say, but a mention like this, I think, is a positive. So you see a positive to come out of this match was the play of Dan Byrne. Giannis, how about you? That's such a good way to approach this. Let's not rate the players, but let's talk about something positive that you saw in this match, maybe from an individual player.
Yeah, and it gives David and I a few minutes to maybe make a bold prediction about who the next manager might be.
We can certainly end there, yes.
No, I'm going to give my shout out to Matt Smith, because Dembele looked all over the shop yesterday, and he bought, and let's give, I'm going to give Kit credit here, because Matt came on and he was a massive difference. He caused them all sorts of trouble. He hit the post. He got the ball in the happy sacks that allowed Russ to score the goal. And you know what? He went out there and he fought like a lion. And it's that kind of fight that you need. And I'm certainly big shouter. Just as a little aside as well, just a 30-second thing. I was watching yesterday the Bournemouth-Newcastle game. And you know, Bournemouth may be arguably the best team we saw last year. But are they a team of stars? No, they're not. Their system is very fluid. They're quick in terms of passing. They shouldn't have lost to Newcastle yesterday, and they're a real credit to our division. They're a lot of fun to watch, and I hope they stay up. And that's the sort of style we want to play, because they create a lot of chances. Everybody knew their role. The just thing they just couldn't do was finish, but they were fun to watch. And that's, we know now why we got thumped twice by them last year. So that's something to look at in terms of moving forward with our manager. If we can get to play that kind of style, and Eddie has done a phenomenal job down there on the South Coast.
Giannis, I really like him as a manager.
Yes, he's outstanding. Outstanding manager, and he's a credit to good football. And that's probably the best compliment that I can pay him. So, but anyway, back to the thing. Matty Smith gets my little vote. I thought he did a super job when he came on.
Okay, very good. Okay, guys, we got about 9 minutes left. Like I mentioned, Mike Gregg. I was almost said Mike Gregg. Mike Gregg, Emilio, and myself will be talking about this tomorrow. But I want to give you guys a chance to share who you think could be the next Bulls manager. And I'm glad, Giannis, that you asked to do it because I certainly want to hear what you have to share. David, I'll start with you. Who could be the next Bulls manager?
I'm not sure if I should thank you or not, Giannis. You've put us on the spot now. This is a very difficult situation. I mean, there's been talk of, you know, people have said that David Moyes, you know, he's on his last legs out in Spain there. He might be coming back very soon. I wouldn't actually mind someone like him. You know, maybe someone who's a bit dour, but someone who, you know, he did great things at Everton, and I think he was at Preston before that. So I wouldn't mind to see someone like that, perhaps. Someone who doesn't court controversy really at all, but does have a great track record in English football. It's impossible to say because we don't know if anyone is lined up in the job, last time we had this sort of conversations, you know, everyone saying, well, we don't want him. But, you know, you look at Chris Hughton, we didn't want Chris Hughton, and he's gone on to do great things. So it's hard to say. I think at this stage it would be easy to say who we don't want. And that's probably a list with including people like Harry Redknapp, I think, which, you know, scares you. Mark Cooper, who's available, who was a very unpopular figure at Fulham. So I think it's easier to list the people we don't want at the moment than the people we do want. But I'd say someone like David Moyes is an outside bet, perhaps.
Okay, very good. Giannis, over to you.
I'm gonna split it into three.
Okay.
Logic would tell me if you want to maintain stability, Kerbishley's going to be the next manager. And I think, depending on what happens in the next few weeks, and I think this would be the perfect opportunity to get an assistant in to blood him in, and that would be Danny Murphy. My heart would tell me that I'd love to have Danny Murphy come in because I think he'd immediately have the respect of all the players, and he's so knowledgeable about the game, and he's recently retired from the game, and the Fulham fans absolutely love him, and I don't think. I mean, you could say, well, he's an inexperienced, you know, he's got no experience as manager. Do you really want him to come in? But, you know, I think that highly of him. And I think my heart tells me that. Logic tells me Kerbishley. But I think at the end, Mr. Khan is going to look at, okay, who's going to give us the best chance to get into the top six to return to the promised land? And there's a list here. I mean, everywhere from seeing here from Steve Bruce to Ian Holloway to Paul Ince to Nigel Clough to Kevin Keegan to Rossler. But right now, I think the person would probably be Nigel Pearson. And you know, he's a bit of a nut job. But I think he was unlucky to lose his job at Leicester because I think the reason he lost it wasn't because of him, but because of his son and what happened out in the Far East. There was some, you know, sexual improprieties that was videotaped and his son got caught and they decided to release him. Ranieri's done a very good job at Leicester, don't get me wrong. But Pearson did an excellent job with Leicester. And I think a lot of fans are like, well, don't want him, don't want him, don't want him, don't want him. But at the end of the day, what do we want? We want a manager. I don't care if he's a spitting image of Osama bin Laden. I don't care if he's a womanizer like Saddam Hussein. And I don't care. I don't give a bollocks. But if he can take us back to the Premier League, it don't matter to me. It's not going to be about a popularity contest. Nigel Pearson did a good job at Leicester. He does have respect. David's right about David Moyes. I just can't see him returning to the Championship. And I think he's a better manager than that. So this is where I think Pearson's got an axe to grind. He's got a beef to get ready. He's going to be a pissed off little bunny. He's going to want to reprove himself. And you know what? What better club to come to than a team, than a club, to be honest. Not just a great club as we know it is, but we've got a lot of decent players, and with a good transfer window to get a style in, we've got still got time to get into that top six. So I believe it will be Nigel Pearson. So I say
Okay. Logic
is Kerbishley, and I wouldn't be upset if Kerbishley took over. I will say that. Get Danny Murphy as an assistant. My heart says Danny Murphy, but I think it will be Nigel Pearson.
Okay, very good. David, thoughts on Nigel Pearson?
No, he's another one that, you know, I think we have to look at what he can achieve as a manager before perhaps his personality, and he's another tough nut, really, and I think we do need to toughen up a little bit. I could imagine Nigel Pearson being much more unpleasant to deal with if you've just let in a last-minute goal from a cross than Kit probably is, and that's maybe what we do need. A bit of toughening up there, you know. It's a tough division. I certainly would probably be more pro-Pearson than the other options. I mean, Danny Murphy, I believe, for some reason, you know, the rumours that Fulham have upset him, so he hasn't been in contact with the club recently. And I think Danny Murphy at the moment would be another Kit, unfortunately. He'd be another sentimental appointment, and he's someone who has no experience. And so I don't think it's time for Danny Murphy if he goes away and learns his trade and wants to be a manager. But I think he's enjoying himself too much in the media at the moment, perhaps. So I'm not sure if that's something he wants to even get into. But Kerbishley, I'm just not sure about. He's been there the whole time, remember? He was there, you know,
yep. When
we had the Mühlenstein thing as well. You know, I'm wondering if there's going to be a complete clear out that, you know, it's not just going to be Kit goes, but all the coaches as well, remember? Because we have people there like Mark Pembridge, who are, you know, one of Kit's sort of Welsh buddies from a long way back as well. He was also, you know, he was a Fulham player as well for a little bit. But whether someone new comes in and they're going to want to bring in all their own staff. Certainly if you had someone like Harry Redknapp, and I don't think that would be the case, but if you had someone like Harry Redknapp, he has his head entourage with him, doesn't he, normally?
Oh,
so
God.
We may see a complete change. So I think Pearson's a good shout as well, and maybe more realistic than someone like David Moyes, but there are others as well out there.
Yeah, you know, and definitely there are several. And like I mentioned, we will be doing a special show Monday night, and we'll be going through it, and maybe by then we'll have some names of potential candidates, you know, speculation. There might be names in 24 hours' time, so that could make things interesting tomorrow, and we'll see if anything happens. But, guys, great show. Giannis, any final thoughts before we go?
No, it's been an absolute bloody pleasure. Actually, the missus and I were talking about Russ. I think we should do something next year and come down and visit you. We should finally meet up and have a few
wobbly
pops and adult beverages.
Listen, I would love to have you come down. I we don't have much time to mention this, but I did have the opportunity yesterday to spend the afternoon with Jake Murtaugh, who writes for the Daily Mirror. And we had a wonderful conversation for 2 hours. It was so much fun talking to Jake. I didn't have much time to really talk about it on today's show, but I would love to have you come up and meet up, Giannis. That would be fantastic.
Wonderful.
Okay. Fantastic. David, to you, final thoughts?
I best I start looking out for cheap air tickets, otherwise I'm going to be left out. But no, that's fine.
Come visit me, David. Come visit me.
I might hold you to that. I'll bring a white coat with me.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes, bring the men with the white coats with you. All right. All right. Great way to end the show. For Giannis and David, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers. Bye, Giannis.
Cheers.
Bye, Russ.
Bye.